The following is an audio recording of How Drug Prohibition Destroys the Lives of the Depressed, Meanwhile Turning Them into Wards of the Healthcare State, published August 30, 2025, on abolishthedea.com.
It is frustrating to deal with one's deeply depressed kinfolk in the age of drug prohibition. All the medicines that could help them are outlawed, and so one is only able to comfort them with words, which are meaningless, however, to a soul in despair. I know, because I have been there myself. Such family members belong to a completely unrecognized class of drug war victims, namely, those who are forced to suffer in silence, thanks to the unprecedented outlawing of time-honored medicine. For the most part, however, these victims refuse to protest, because they have been told that science has solved depression, and that they just have to wait until they discover the right dependence-causing pill combination from Big Pharma, and then all will be fine. Well, I know family members who have been playing that game for over 40 years now, and they have been cycled through long periods of despair and hope as they are given one dependence-causing med after another to see what works for them. In between each drug trial, they are unconscionably forced to go cold turkey for the benefit of the doctor, who prioritizes limiting variables over the patient's peace of mind. As much as we love to demonize them, a drug dealer would never insist on such an inhumane protocol. I write, therefore, on behalf of the sufferers of the future, in an effort to make America rethink its unprecedented wholesale demonization of psychoactive substances. Of course, there are many reasons to re-legalize psychoactive medicine. By so doing, we would end the violence of turf wars and the militarization of police forces around the world. We would restore our basic rights, which Americans have renounced in favor of fighting the politically created scapegoat called drugs. We would get rid of our penal colonies for minorities. We would begin to atone for the fact that we have killed 500,000 Americans since 1971 in our Paleolithic war on drugs. I focus on the rights of the depressed, however, partly because I have skin in this game, and partly because no one else seems to be aware of the obvious way that drug prohibition keeps the depressed from enjoying life. I myself have been deprived of godsend medicines for a lifetime, and so deprived of my most basic of rights, to take care of my own health. This is a crucial criticism of the drug war that someone must finally make, but Americans have been bamboozled on this topic by the propaganda of drug warriors and Big Pharma alike. Companies like AstraZeneca and Eli Lilly sponsor ads for depression awareness in an effort to have us all take our meds, and these ads have worked. Americans like to boast that they are on the same page as the pharmaceutical companies when it comes to their need to take dependence-causing meds on a daily basis. And yet the depressed could be cheered up in a trice if we merely began using drugs for the benefit of humanity. And this could be done without addicting the user, bearing in mind that even dependence is preferable to having that user commit suicide. As Carl Hart reminds us, the majority of drug users use wisely, this despite the fact that our government is doing everything it can to ensure that use is problematic, by refusing to teach safe use, refusing to regulate drugs as to quantity and quality, and refusing to provide would-be users with true choice. All risky activities have victims, however, from horseback riding to mountain climbing to alcohol drinking. Only when it comes to the hypocritically defined category of drugs do we insist that the concerns about one demographic, namely white suburban young people, must be prioritized over the healthcare needs of everybody else in the world. This is an imperialist and racist evil. It is a crime against humanity to deny peace of mind to the depressed, especially when we do so merely because we refuse to educate young people about drugs, under the bizarre anti-democratic philosophy that ignorance is the best policy. My uncle underwent brain-damaging shock therapy thanks to these drug warrior clowns. The doctors told the family that it was performed as a, quote, last resort, but this was a lie. Shock therapy is never performed as a last resort in the age of drug prohibition. It is performed because we have outlawed all common-sense treatments for human sadness. The world is full of substances that inspire and elate. Consider the following user reports from the book Pical, by Alexander Shulgin.
More than tranquil, I was completely at peace in a beautiful, benign and placid place.
A glimpse of what true heaven is supposed to feel like.
This is total energy, and I am aware of my every membrane. This has been a marvellous experience, very beautiful, joyous and sensuous.
Just imagine how frustrating it is to deal with a sorrowing loved one, knowing that America would rather demonise substances that produce such results, rather than to learn how to use them as wisely as possible for the benefit of humanity.
You have been listening to an essay entitled, How Drug Prohibition Destroys the Lives of the Depressed, Meanwhile Turning Them into Wards of the Healthcare State, published August 30, 2025, on abolishthedea.com. For more information about America's disgraceful drug war, which is anti-patient, anti-minority, anti-scientific, anti-mother nature, imperialistic, the establishment of the Christian Science religion, a violation of the natural law upon which America was founded, and a childish and counterproductive way of looking at the world, one which causes all of the problems that it purports to solve, and then some, visit the Drug War Philosopher at abolishthedea.com.